Hello and welcome to The Master's Voice, the podcast series of MediaBrief.com. I'm your host and friend, Pavanar Chawla. The Master's Voice, the podcast series on MediaBrief.com, is being recorded on the phone, and we are not using the internet for this conversation to record this episode. In these days of the coronavirus lockdown, and everybody is trying their best to support the government's effort to fight COVID-19, the pandemic in India. Well, India is not only trying to keep itself safe, but also to keep the lifeline of our economy ticking, the businesses, and everybody's working from home. And so am I, and the young master today who's on The Master's Voice. He's really young. I mean, how come this youngster is on The Master's Voice, a series where someone as great as the great legendary Pandit Jasraji, the wonderful Tarun Katiyar, Patisha Agarwal, Anand Katkankar, so many other wonderful professionals. Well, let me tell you, Rohit Paranjpe, this young technocrat, deserves to be here, because to my mind, he has given to the entire marketing and media space what I consider to be a new pipeline or a new medium of consumer delivery, target audiences delivery, in a literally captive, confined environment. And that happens through his wonderful setup called Sugarbox Networks, of which Rohit Paranjpe is co-founder and CEO. Rohit, welcome to this podcast episode.
Thanks, Pavan. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Let me quickly tell people about you. Rohit Paranjpe is the co-founder and CEO of Sugarbox Networks India, which is a platform that enables the user to use mobile apps in areas with bad and no network and empowers users without an active internet connection to use apps. One of the youngest CEOs in India, the brand under his leadership is consistently reaching impressive heights. With first-of-its-kind ventures across the digital content and media ecosystem in India, Rohit is now focused on disrupting the internet services space, making them available, affordable, reliable, and contextual for everyone. Rohit has successfully handled wide-ranging responsibilities in an illustrious young career spanning over a decade. An innovator at heart with a passion for building ecosystems that can potentially impact billions of users, Rohit also co-founded Digitainment, a company that revolutionized retail distribution of content and ran the first B2B2C OTT service in India, and Mobile Infotainment, an interactive, connected, in-transport infotainment and media platform which was years ahead of its time. He has been recognized as one of the top 50 tech innovators by Intercon Dubai and was featured in the TechTers to watch out for in 2020 by Business World Disrupt. In addition to being an avid reader, Rohit particularly enjoys listening to live music, playing football and table tennis, and being an enthusiastic footballer, Rohit takes time out to practice his game with dedication on a regular basis and forces others from office to play twice a week. Right now, I think he's already broken one television set at home. He's a wine aficionado, enjoys traveling, and is a dog pet. So, Rohit, that was a very quick, rushed introduction of you. What are we going to talk about, Rohit, today? First, I think you should really tell our listeners about Sugarbox and why it's such a unique thing.
Sure, Pawan. I think from a Sugarbox standpoint, with as you rightly mentioned in the introduction, we're trying to make the internet more available, affordable, reliable, and contextual. And in today's scenario, I think we all understand how important that is with everything that's been happening with the overload on the data networks. Sadly, being a physical business, we aren't able to contribute much from a business standpoint in the current situation.
Sugarbox actually provides, in a confined Wi-Fi space, a captive audience for marketers. A captive audience, imagine you're traveling down Chennai Metro or Hyderabad Metro or any of the Indian railway network. What Sugarbox does is provide a closed Wi-Fi network for everybody in that system. Tell us a little bit more about Sugarbox. When did you think of the idea and how did you form it, and what has been the progress like so far? And then we will come to the meat and potatoes of this episode, which is about saving data and making it available for the COVID fight and for those who are working from home. So first, let's speak about Sugarbox.
Sure. So I think Sugarbox came into relevance a bit, or the need for it came in when I was running an OTT service. And the biggest experience that we had while running the OTT service was people either struggled to stream a piece of content. It used to keep buffering, something that all of us have sort of gotten used to over the years. And the other part also was, as it went into tier 2, tier 3, tier 4 markets, I think affordability and being able to recurrently pay for the data cost became a challenge. So the really, it came from a thought process wherein, you know, can you replicate the experience of a television onto the digital ecosystem, because everyone's shifting over to digital, but the experience that we are used to on television from a seamlessness standpoint doesn't really exist on digital. The other important part also obviously comes from, on television we are used to a single cost kind of an arrangement, right? We pay one bill and that's it. Whereas when it comes to OTT, we need to watch video, we need to pay for the subscription service separately, and then we need to pay for the data separately. And even after doing all of this, there are data caps and data limits, and then you have to keep paying additional data, so on and so forth. So really the thought process Sugarbox came from is, you know, can you create one that literally replicates the user's experience that today exists on television onto the digital side? So what we really managed to do is, we sort of managed to disrupt the way the internet infrastructure technology works. There is something called the content distribution network that's at the back of most apps today that enables the apps to function, you know, better than what they used to. So we actually figured out technology to miniaturize, hyperlocalize the CD so that it can be installed in places where these experiences, you know, the experience of digital services is bad. And utilizing this hyperlocal CDN and exposing it over a localized Wi-Fi, users are able to access apps exactly the way you said. Let's take an example of today you are inside a train. All you can do while you're traveling on that train is, before the journey, download content onto your phone and then use it while you're traveling. But imagine if, you know, while you were in the train, you could continue watching that show on Z5 that you left, you know, half done in the cab to the station. Or imagine if you could shop on Amazon, or imagine if you could buy groceries on a Big Basket, or if you could, you know, listen to music on a Spotify, so on and so forth. Or even pay your bills using, let's say, an Amazon Pay or a Paytm. And all of this actually happened seamlessly without you really having to require internet connection or check how good your mobile data is or whether you have LTE or not. Or let's chuck all of this even if you didn't have a SIM card in your phone, right? So that is really what Sugarbox enables as a company. And literally from an internet ecosystem standpoint, what this does, which again is relevant to the conversation today, is it actually enables more and more consumption by a user without really impacting an equivalent amount of data consumption on the internet infrastructure, which again gets us down to, you know, how do we save data? This obviously is just contextual to what we do, but I think the context of saving data today is much, much larger than just a business. I think it's essential to one of the biggest obstacles or catastrophes that the world is facing in terms of COVID.
We come back after a short break. You are tuned to The Master's Voice, the podcast series on MediaBrief.com. It's being recorded on the phone, and we are not using the internet for this conversation to record this podcast, because remember, this podcast and this episode is especially to bring in the views of this young technocrat, Rohit Parajpe, who's speaking to me, Pawan R. Chawla, the host of MediaBrief.com's The Master's Voice. Rohit is the founder, co-founder and CEO of Sugarbox Networks, and when we come back, Rohit is going to tell us about how every individual who's working from home can actually contribute to the COVID-19 fight of India by saving data and making sure it's available for more critical needs. We'll be back. So it's actually like, like the Wi-Fi router that's installed in my house is now available in a train or in a high footfall place to people who come in and who can be reached through their smartphones.
That is absolutely correct.
And what are the kind of public places where this can help marketers? I know right now, unfortunately, because of the lockdown, Sugarbox, literally the switch has been sort of, the plug has been pulled on it right now. But of course, everybody prays that things come back to normal very soon, and then Sugarbox will be up and buzzing, and marketers will be definitely riding this, using this pipeline of content delivery to connect with, engage and acquire customers. So what are the kind of places that can be used and how can it be used by marketers?
So I think today, as you rightly said at the start, right, our largest focus is to give the marketers a captive audience, right? But that the value of that is far, far higher than in any other use case. And so for the next couple of years, you know, the focus is on use cases like buses, metros, trains, planes, where a user is literally, while he's traveling, stuck in one place, has nothing to do. And this is probably the best time for marketers to reach out to this person. And the beauty of what Sugarbox really offers is, for digital services specifically, is you can actually reach out to the consumer and provide him instant gratification all while he's caught in this state of, you know, being stuck inside a transport vehicle.
So what are the places like, I mean, are we looking at malls, even a hospital waiting room where people are waiting and, you know, they might get messages with gravitas from marketers who might want to say, hey, you know, why don't you consider insurance? Do you have it? This is how it helps you, etc., etc.
Absolutely. I mean, from a place standpoint, you know, we have done deployments in hospitals, we have done deployments in hotels, we have done deployments in the restaurant and the cafes, we have done installations across busties. I mean, the rural audience again is going to become, you know, the next sort of big audience to reach out to.
Exactly. You know, the high growth tier 3 and 4 markets are where marketers are now looking for greater growth. So where, what kind of busties, which places, areas? It could even be in a city which is like, you know, on the outskirts, on the fringes. So where all have you gone and to sort of deploy Sugarbox for busties and in the rural areas?
Right, absolutely. I mean, most of our deployments today are actually inside the city. And when I say busty, you know, literally these are like a series of hutments or a series of chawls. We have close to about 10 of them in Bombay today, you know, mostly in the western suburbs. And these are typically those scenarios wherein, you know, anywhere between about 1,000 to 5,000 people, you know, a small micro habitat kind of a thing.
Right. And so, are these still operational?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you must be doing a lot of CSR there, no? With interesting messages, helpful messages on COVID.
Most definitely. I mean, see, with this audience, again, what happens is, you know, the most important thing here is awareness. And I think that is what we've been doing. The other important part here is, you know, everyone loves to connect to a Wi-Fi. And that becomes our great, you know, communication channel, because connecting to Wi-Fi throws you to a landing page or to a captive page. And then that's the page that we utilize to sort of, you know, impart the do's and don'ts.
We come back after a short break. You are tuned to The Master's Voice, the podcast series on MediaBrief.com. It's being recorded on the phone, especially to bring in the views of this young technocrat, Rohit Paranjpe, who's speaking to me, Pawan R. Chawla, the host of MediaBrief.com's The Master's Voice. Rohit is the founder, co-founder and CEO of Sugarbox Networks. And when we come back, Rohit is going to tell us about how every individual who's working from home can actually contribute to the COVID-19 fight of India by saving data and making sure it's available for more critical needs. We'll be back. So Rohit, really, I wish you great good luck for Sugarbox and its continued future deployment. What are the kind of contracts you've won so far?
So from a contract standpoint, you know, you already covered Hyderabad and Chennai Metro. We just received one of the largest contracts that will ever be deployed in the world. This is literally to cover close to 5,500 railway stations and every single train that is operated by the Indian Railways. So this literally caters to about 23 million people a day, and I'm not even considering the incremental audience at the stations. I'm talking about 23 million people who travel using a train every day, and close to about 270 million unique users over a month.
So that's an OTS of which is manifold more than all the OTT players combined on DAUs.
Yes, on the ODS.
Wow, that's wonderful. So how much time will it take for you to deploy this whole thing across, you know, so many stations for so many million people?
It's a huge, you know, operations heavy business in many ways, and I think we're scaling up to about 250 odd, you know, operations folks split across about 177 cities in the country. And this is just people that we are scaling up to, right? I think if I consider all of the people and the outsourcing partners that will be involved, you're talking about a couple of thousand people working on deploying something of this magnitude. And typically we are envisaging close to about 2 years to actually be rolled out across the length and breadth of the country.
Wonderful. So most strength to you, Rohit, and to Sugarbox. So Rohit, let's talk about how one can save, you know, at home, save crucial data, you know, in these trying times. It'll be like sending out your own prayer for the nation's fight against Corona. What suggestions do you have?
I think, Pawan, the most important thing where the mindset shift starts, right, is first, let's all understand that data is not unlimited, right? Data, like any other natural resource, be it oil, be it water, be it electricity, is a limited resource, and we all need to be conscious about how much and how we use all of these things.
Right.
Coming specifically to, you know, what we can do, there's actually a whole bunch, and it doesn't really require a lot of effort, you know, or for us to change or drastically change our habits. There's small little things that can actually go a very, very long way in one, saving data, and second, as you rightly pointed out, to making it available and usable by people who need it more than us. So the first thing, you know, that the industry has really helped and contributed to is by throttling the quality of OTT, right? Video today accounts for close to about 70% of all data consumption. And so the ODD guys doing that really helps. But one of the biggest factors here is YouTube doesn't really come into the purview of ODD.
Exactly.
And so YouTube still streams HD content. So I think the first and the simplest thing that all of us can do is change our quality setting on YouTube to, let's say, a 480p. And you can actually set that as a default into your settings as well. So just set it at 480 instead of, you know, setting it at HD. And literally this itself can reduce the bandwidth utilized for every video stream by less than half. So, you know, that's a huge sort of saving right there. I think the second most important thing, and again, you know, this is sort of counterintuitive and may require a little, you know, motivation more than effort, is with all of us stuck at home, the social media consumption has skyrocketed, right? You know, all sort of just flipping between a Facebook to an Instagram to a TikTok. Again, what we don't realize is all of these are video-based or at least video-led apps and end up consuming a lot of data. So literally small little things that we can do, you know, probably first switch off auto video, like auto play video. That's one thing that Facebook allows you to do. The second, between a TikTok and an Instagram, you know, can we restrict the amount of time that we spend on these apps every day? You know, let's start with 2 hours. So this is literally something that I did myself. I first started by saying, hey, you know what, I'm not going to use more than 2 hours of social media a day. And today I'm down to about an hour of social media a day. That actually forces us to do more creative things. Second, goes a long, long way in terms of saving bandwidth and helping people.
And what about throttling the speed and, you know, the bandwidth of your internet consumption, of your Wi-Fi, of your router?
Yes.
Tell us about it.
So Sugarbox actually uses you know, a lot of bandwidth. We have 10 gig pipes in our offices. I have a 100 Mbps pipe at home. So literally the first thing that we did is, you know, we called all of our ISP partners and said, guys, you know what, we don't need the kind of data pipes that we utilize because operations are, you know, at a standstill. So can you literally keep the bare minimum data pipe available and take the rest of the data pipe, right? So our office line literally from a 10G has been reduced to about 500 Mbps. You know, my home line from 100 Mbps has been reduced to 20 Mbps. And we may all feel like, you know, what is this 80 and 100 Mbps going to contribute? But I think if all of us even sort of throttled our bandwidth by, let's say, 5 odd Mbps or 2 Mbps or half of what it is, right? The collaborative effect of this will actually be quite massive.
Phenomenal, phenomenal. Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, one thing that people forward on WhatsApp is the whole PDF of a Times of India. I love the newspaper, the Times, Mumbai Mirror, and so many others. But each PDF is about 50 MB. And, you know, instead there are files with links to them, you know. And, I mean, I still feel that even if you go up to look at it on the internet, you might spend a little less data or far less data than you would use to download those big fat files. What do you think about that?
No, absolutely true. I think the whole sharing portion in itself, right, is extremely critical. So literally from sharing, as you rightly pointed out, you know, don't share files please share links, right? So only the person who really wants to use it, wants to see it, will actually download it or go to the link and access it. The second thing is a lot of people share videos. Again, please don't share videos using WhatsApp. I mean, even if WhatsApp throttles the video size itself, there is no need to send videos. You can just share links. The third thing, which I think is the most important thing, is don't share any files on a group, right? Because what happens is there's 60 members on a group. It's not really relevant for all 60 people. The moment you send it on the group, by default, these 60 people have downloaded from the internet and waste bandwidth doing that. Right? So if you really think that someone needs to see something, you need to send an attachment to someone, the simplest thing that we can do is, you know, let's not send it to the group of 60 people. Let's send it to the 5 people out of those 60 that you think this is going to be most relevant to.
Rohit, you also spoke about watching videos at a much lower compression rate and quality. But wouldn't you also sort of agree that, look, let's assume that from say 8 in the morning to about 8 at night, India's working and, you know, lots of people need all the bandwidth available. So why not entertainment videos be banished from our lives from say between 8 a.m. and 8 or 9 p.m. and when we watch them during the off times of people working, or watch them at the wonderful suggestion that you made at the lower bandwidths?
No, absolutely. I think it's extremely relevant on the point that you're making. And this is something that's observed across the board on the internet, right? You always have lean periods and peak periods. And if we can be conscious about it and if people can be made aware about it, you know, then probably yes, most definitely can be done. So time your slots accordingly, use it into lean periods. That definitely will help.
Yeah. Also, what about background data on phones?
I think there is bunch of stuff on that, right? And again, awareness is a major factor here, because a lot of us are not really aware of what is really happening, right? But a couple of very important things that you can do is, first and foremost, so the people actually don't realize this, but close to about 7% of all bandwidth on the internet across the world is utilized in updating apps. That is a humongous amount of data. So the first thing that probably we can do is, you know, just switch off the auto update of apps from your Apple phone or from your Android phone. That's the simplest thing that you can do. The second is, every single app is downloading data in the background. And all of now Apple and Google both allow you settings to restrict the amount of background data activity that an app is doing. It's a very simple toggle in the settings of an app. The user can actually, you don't really have to go do it for every single app. We all know which are the apps that are the most data intensive or use the most amount of data. Just do it for the top 10 apps and you're good.
Correct. And you know, Rohit, you also mentioned that we could use Google Chrome, throttle it and use it in light mode when you were talking
about this. Absolutely. So Google Chrome, again, you know, not just Google Chrome, any web browser for that matter, today offers something called the light mode or a data, you know, data saver mode. So yeah, so most definitely that's one more thing that can be done.
Accessible through settings under advanced. That's right. Yeah,
that is correct. Yeah. Yes, it is accessible through settings and advanced.
Yeah. And you know, right now, of course, nobody's traveling. Nobody is using Google Maps except for people on the roads who are working with the government for relief and fighting the corona pandemic. But when we use Google Maps later, I believe you can also download and cache a Google Maps for offline use, which can then be used without the data, only through GPS.
Yeah, most definitely. I think our generic everyday use cases, Google Maps actually literally allows you to download an entire state, if not an entire country. But at least, you know, our everyday routes can be cached. Google Maps does give you an option to sort of download it to the device. And it's not too heavy. I mean, if I look at my daily travel commute map that lies on my phone, it's barely 15 MB. Right?
And you need it as a convenience just so you can be directed by Google through alternative routes when, you know, the usual route is clogged with traffic or something, right? Otherwise, you know your route, so why do you need the map?
Absolutely.
We come back after a short break. You're tuned to The Master's Voice, the podcast series on MediaBrief.com. It's being recorded on the phone and we are not using the internet. We'll be back. So, Rohit, what kind of CSR from home can we do?
I think Pawan, there's again a bunch of stuff. And when I come for CSR, right, it's a very wide meaning and wide and encompassing term. I think the first thing that we should start with is, you know, everyone recognizes the doctors that are on the front line. But I think a lot of people don't recognize our daily health, the watchmen, the security guards, the cleaning guys, the maids, so on and so forth. For them, it's beyond CSR, right? A lot of people today are struggling in terms of their daily earnings. They're already from economically distressed strata. So I think the simplest thing that we can start with doing is let's pay these guys on time. Let's probably give them a bonus if we can afford to this during these times. If we can't give them more money, let's probably share food with them. Let's probably share supplies with them. Because it's not just about money, right? It's also about availability right now.
Absolutely.
We can sort of call 5 different places and get access to stuff. They really can't do that.
And reassure them that their jobs are safe and we are there with them.
Absolutely, most definitely. I think reassurance and sort of getting that safety net around them, right, is something that can go a long, long way. And again, this is sort of like a network effect. If all of us start doing this, you know, that sort of really will magnify the impact of this. The second most important thing again is helping people get out of fear. You know, a lot of fear is being created right now of fake news. Absolutely, right? So that is something that can be done, saying, hey, you know what, first of all, let's be conscious about what we are sharing, right? Have we validated the source of that data? Are we confident that it's actually coming from, let's say, you know, an authorized source? And then be conscious about sharing that. Secondly, let's not start to create panic, right? Because the more panic that is created, the more detrimental this whole situation is going to be. So yes, we are all scared, I understand that, but, you know, let's sort of comfort each other through this rather than spreading it. So these two. Finally, from a CSR standpoint, I think there are a bunch of NGOs that have stood up, a lot of segments in there. There are people who have stood up for doctors' rights, there are people who have stood up for, you know, rights of air hostesses and hosts that have been facing problems. There are people who have stood up for kids and how their growth and education is being impacted because of the COVID situation. There are a bunch of people who have stood up for the lower strata of society and the health circumstances out there. And whatever it is, I mean, all of these guys are available online. They don't need any physical this thing. Digital payments work. You can transfer. All of these are covered under ADC. So whoever can literally, the government has launched a fund. You know, we can probably
contribute to that. PM Cares, yes.
The PM Cares, yes. There's a bunch of people trying to do some great work. I think one more thing that can go and help a lot is, you know, making certain donations to healthcare facilities. I think that is what is going to probably win this fight at the end of the day for us. And so doing that as well will really go a long way. It's not just my colleagues or people that I work with. It's also all my friends, my family. So everybody, I think, I'll just say one thing. It's when we say CSR, you know, or helping people, it doesn't always have to come back to, you know, opening up your wallet. There's a lot of non-monetary things that can be done as well. So whenever I speak about this, you know, a lot of people sort of come back to me by saying, hey, no, but our financial situation is sort of tentative. You know, we don't know about our security. How do we give money to others? And one thing I'll always tell them is not just about money. Start with helping people around you. Start with helping people by providing them comfort, by helping them get over the panic. Help your security guard, share your supplies. That doesn't really require money.
And if you cannot give in kind, then at least help them all be safe by staying indoors. And I think, Rohit, COVID-19 has actually changed the first letter of CSR. Now from corporate, I think it's become common social responsibility.
Correct. That is absolutely true.
And frankly, Rohit, whatever little bit everyone can do at this point in time really needs to be done with sincerity, working from home, work with your heart and soul, put your blood and sweat into it. And I think right now is the time that everybody needs to stand up and, you know, step up for their workplaces, for society, for families and for the nation. So thank you very, very much indeed, Rohit, for being a part of the Master's Voice on MediaBeef.com and speaking to me, your friend and the host of this show, Pawan R. Chawla. any thoughts on our conversation so far? And
thank you so much, Pawan. Yeah. It is an absolute pleasure. I think, guys, Pawan is a great, great host and a great friend, and does some great work with Media Brief and with this industry in general. So, Pawan, wish you all the best. Thank you for having me again. It is an absolute privilege.
Thank you, Rohit. Thank you ever so much for being on the show and for your kind words for me and for MediaBrief.com. Till the next time, till the next episode of The Master's Voice on MediaBrief.com, this is your host, Vipin Pawan Chawla, saying stay safe. Bye-bye.